This is the Monday Morning Show. Craig Menadze grew up in Nashwauk, and he became a school superintendent in Minnesota and Iowa. He's retired in Coleraine, and he's back with us to talk education issues. Craig, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Heidi. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
So the school year is whipping up, and I thought this would be a good time to start talking about some things that if we've been away from schools, we may not even really understand, and that's the technology for students in what's called this one-on-one initiatives?
Absolutely. So many districts now, Michael and Heidi, are looking at going one-to-one, and that's providing a device for every child in school. And some districts have done that. Some districts are close. Some districts are planning that layout or to try to implement a one-to-one initiative. And one of the things that I always say, if you go one-to-one of providing a device, whether it's an iPad or a Chromebook or whatever it is you have to make sure that the rollout is well planned. So many times what I've seen with districts is that device becomes the curriculum. And that's really, people get really excited. They get that device into the classrooms, but then they don't know how to use it. So you have to make sure that the device, whatever you're using, aids the curriculum. The curriculum is still front and center of all discussions, and that device is used to support, say if you're working with an English class, you're working with writing, you're using a Chromebook, the device is used to support the writing in that class. So that's really, really important that districts really plan that layout and how you're going to implement the one-to-one initiative.
So as part of that layout, meaning that you actually have the devices prepared with the software and the tools, so that rather than being shiny and bright, it becomes a resource.
That's exactly right, Michael. Yep. Exactly. And I think that's, you know, everybody gets really excited that you're going to have these devices, but you have to make sure that you're prepared and the curriculum and the teaching and learning is aligned with, and the staff know how to use those devices. Yeah. You know, they have to make sure that they are up to speed and they know how to utilize those devices. But, you know, it does really provide a level playing field for kids. I think kids love to utilize devices. Nowadays, kids don't like to write, but they love to use technology to write, things like that. So it does kind of level the playing field. It also allows work to happen at home, where kids can go home and they can reread text, they can edit their writing, things like that. They can advance themselves with content. So there are a lot of really pros to definitely going one-on-one. And so it offers kids, you know, certainly that opportunity. I think in writing and everything, it allows for more collaboration. You know, we talk about today's work world being a lot of collaboration, people working together. Mm-hmm. And I think it allows that, you know, with utilizing devices and everything too. So kids can kind of edit writing, they can check each other, utilize things like Google Docs to edit and so forth. So I think there are things that are really great there too.
So where do school districts find money for devices?
That is an absolutely wonderful question, Heidi. It really is. And I think that, you know, where I've been, a lot of the PTAs within individual schools will certainly, you know, provide the dollars and everything. But it's something that if you're going to go one-to-one, you definitely have to budget for it. I mean, it's something you have to do, because then there's also sustainability and everything too. You know, how do you replace the devices? You know, they don't last forever. And I think there's also districts that have worked now with parents and say, okay, let's say you're going into high school for the next 4 years and you're going to have this device. Let's get an insurance program set up to, you know, in case there's any damage to the device and things like that. So, you know, as I've talked with different technology directors in school districts, sustainability is a real issue. You know, to just keep track of all these hundreds and hundreds of devices that these large districts have. So it is something that it is expensive, and you definitely have to budget for it. One of the things, just before we went on, we talked about referendums, and I know in Grand Rapids they're considering a referendum coming up in February. In Iowa, we were really fortunate that we had a 1 cent sales tax that supported things like technology, so we could utilize that. In Minnesota, that's different, so cost certainly is an issue, but there are a lot of other resources, grants, PTAs that I know help fund devices in a lot of school districts.
Is there a downside to these devices?
You guys are right on with the conversation.
As adults, we need to think about our amount of screen time. What does it mean for our students?
I think some of the down types of things that I've looked into, plagiarism. Certainly a real issue. So I think we really need to teach digital citizenship. And I think there's a lot of districts that are getting into curriculum for digital citizenship as early as second and third grade. Mm. So plagiarism is a real issue. There's a tool now called Turnitin, which is a feedback tool and a plagiarism screener that I know a lot of school districts are utilizing. So I think that's definitely some of the downsides. One of the things that, especially in rural and outstate Minnesota, is connectivity. You know, with the lack of broadband, the lack of fiber, you know, that I think is a real issue, is that we don't have all kids that are connected all the time. So I think that can be, you know, a real negative. I know in talking to teachers, classroom management can be a concern too, to get, you have all these devices going, getting kids working. There's so many different distractions with a device. Maybe you only have a 45-minute class period, so you can lose instructional time that way too. So, and I think as educators, I think we assume that kids want to use devices 100% of the time. Now, some kids still like to have a textbook or a text in front of them. For example, you know, myself, I will, if I'm doing a piece of writing, a lot of times I'd like to still write it out before I transfer it to a device. And there's still kids that like to do it. They like to write things out before they move it to the device and everything too. So those are things I think we can't always assume that kids just want to use technology 100% of the time.
Well, I think that this is a downside. My son, who's now 27, when he graduated from Walker Hackensack Akeley, he did not know how to do cursive. Mm-hmm. They simply did not teach cursive.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think handwriting, we've really lost some of the beauty of the handwriting. But on the other hand, with our devices, we can, if I'm doing a research on a certain subject, I can go all over the world to do that research. I can connect with people in different cultures, different lands, and the connectivity, making the world just that much smaller. We're in northern Minnesota, yes, but we can connect with people in Israel or in China.
I know Google just came out. I haven't looked at it yet. I just found out about it last week. Google just recently came out with a new curriculum called Applied Digital Skills. And so there are constantly, you know, new curriculum resources. And like Michael said, I mean, you can connect. I mean, there are kids that now have pen pals with kids in Europe and things like that through technology and so forth. And I think there's wonderful things that can happen through technology, particularly in smaller districts up here. So many times, maybe it's very, very difficult to hire a physics teacher. I mean, I hear that all the time, that, you know, it's difficult to maybe hire in certain areas. But through technology, we can share those teachers, we can share those resources, and still get that curriculum, that content to kids and everything too.
Digital citizenship, that's a new concept to me, and that might be something in our continuing education that we might want to pursue with our adults and all others, because I think we have this powerful tool, but ethically and morally, sometimes we don't utilize them properly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's very, very important that we teach kids early on appropriate usage of those devices and everything. And just like we talked about a couple minutes ago, plagiarism and all of those other kinds of things have really come into play. And I think we all know in utilizing email or, you know, the different kinds of things that, you know, texting and so forth is, you know, a lot of times I know as a leader, it was always really important for me to pick up the phone or still meet face to face with people, because sometimes when you're putting things in an email, it just takes on a different connotation sometimes. And sometimes with a more serious conversation, it's still better to speak to a person.
We're talking with Craig Minazzi today. We're talking education and technology and one-on-one initiatives in classrooms. We'd love to hear from you if you want to send us an email, comments at kaxe.org. I know in the Grand Rapids area, some of my co-workers who have kids just starting out in middle school, they are taking digital citizenship type of classes and needing to do that. Do you have advice for parents, because if you're, so if you're getting a device, your student, your kid's getting a device and they bring it home and they can, yes, they can use it for homework, but a kid could easily say, I have homework, and could be doing other things on there.
I certainly think, Heidi, that's a great point. I think as a parent, you should always know what that child is doing and everything too, and, you know, and the different sites that they're going to. And it's just really, really important, I think, as a parent to monitor that. I think it's absolutely important to know where children are going. And the same thing, you know, within classrooms and everything. You know, teachers need to know where their students are going and everything too.
Well, and I know there are things in place. Parents can lock down the time where the machines will just shut down on on a kid, and they can do all kinds of, I know a lot of people that are doing that too, to make sure that it's not too much screen time for a kid.
Absolutely. I think that's very, very important. One of the things that also I should mention is that, you know, we have online local and state assessments now. You know, in Minnesota, we have what are called the MCAs, what we administer every April, the statewide comprehensive assessments, which every state now has. And I think most states are going to be online with those assessments by 2019. Some states are. So it gets back to what Michael was saying, having enough devices within a school to administer those exams. Now, granted, not all kids will be taking those exams at the same time, but still, if you're going to go online, you have to have enough devices to do that. And I think most state assessments now will be online within 2 years.
I think that one of the issues that you raised, and I experience it in where I live, is broadband. Mm-hmm. And in the summer months, my broadband goes down to 0.1, and it's really difficult. And so, and I know the carriers, that there are grants available now for carriers to begin to lay that optic cable, but that's going to be a process. So I think that finding hotspots or finding places where kids that may not have access, it would be really important.
I think there's no doubt about it. And I think we hear that in the legislature now that, you know, I've lived up here. I notice that there's a lot of places that just aren't connected. So it is really important, you know, especially for our students, to make sure that they are connected. They have access to the internet. They have access to research and everything too. Yep. That's kind of that level playing field that we talk about. That's really, really important.
That's right.
Anything else that's on your mind having to do with this sort of, what age are, is this initiative stuff usually happening where kids are getting the device that they can
usually use? I see most of the time in school districts they're trying to do it in middle school, and high school is where they're trying to do it. A lot of times in elementary school now, for example, I see that, you know, they're utilizing carts where, you know, the devices are in carts and they're shifted between classrooms. I think most school districts have gone away from that decentralized computer lab where you have to physically take your classroom over to a computer lab, and that, you know, that waste time and everything. So these carts are portable and they can move between classes and everything. And I see that a lot in elementary. The only problem with that is definitely the sustainability. If you can only get the carts maybe once every 4 days, and the continuity of instruction is important. But most of the rollouts I do see are like sixth or seventh grade in the middle school years, and then making sure 9 through 12 that they have that device as they carry on into high school too.
Well, that's good work, and I'm excited for our children. And, you know, another piece about this is, wouldn't it be wonderful for mom and dad and the child to sit down with their devices and share what they're doing? And even mom and dad might have too much screen time, and to talk about making agreements of how much time they would spend and how they might do that together. I just think it opens up a lot of doors.
I think it definitely does. And I think there's definitely ways for, you know, parents to get involved. I talked about, you know, that collaboration or checking that writing and things like that, and editing and so forth. And I think through technology, you know, it enables us to do that.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to have a continuing conversation. School is up and running. Lots of things going on in the world of education. Give us a little preview of what we might talk about in the next couple of months with you, Craig.
Oh, I'd love to, Heidi. I think, you know, we talked a little bit about finance and everything, and, you know, with districts, Michael mentioned referendums. I mean, that would be definitely a topic to take a look at. One of the other things I would like to talk about is the American high school today, and some things that I would suggest in terms of making some changes in how we do high school education and everything too. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. That would be another topic. I think the topic of special education is one we've mentioned kind of from the front end with Heidi and everything too, and certainly how we fund and how we sustain special education. I know that in a lot of our area districts, as I've visited with some of the local superintendents, we have as many as 20 to 25% of our kids identified as special ed. And one of the things that I really enjoyed with Heidi a couple months ago, we talked about kids in poverty. I've checked with some superintendents. We have some of our area districts as many as 65 to 70% of our children on free and reduced lunch. So there are a lot of children that are certainly living in poverty, but how we again can advance those kids and get them to really achieve too is another topic we should revisit too.
What about the idea of going into teaching as a profession?
Definitely.
Well, how's your feeling on that?
Yeah, you know, I'm just so passionate about the profession and just all the years that I spent. So I would just always highly encourage people. It's the expectations, the demands, the accountability are more than ever, but I still think it's a wonderful profession. If you think about your work environment and everything, I don't think there's a better place to work than in a school environment, no matter what your role might be. Maybe you're a paraprofessional, maybe you're a library aide, maybe you're a teacher, but I think it's still a great place to work. But it's tough work, it's difficult work. I think people need to realize that the demands and expectations have been raised, but I'd still encourage people to go into education.
All right. Greg Manatza, you can find this conversation on our website, and we want you to continue it as well. Let us know what you've done with your kids, maybe in terms of technology and how you watch their screen time. You can email us comments@kaxe.org. Craig, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Yep.